Radio Prague News.
The police have asked the lower house to allow the prosecution of MP Vlasta Parkanova over her role in the purchase of military CASA planes. The lower house of parliament has passed legislation slowing down the growth of pensions. And in football, medical tests have confirmed that Czech national sides Petr Čech and Tomáš Rosický did not suffer any serious injuries in Tuesday's game against Greece. The anti-corruption police on Wednesday asked the lower house of parliament to allow the prosecution of MP and deputy speaker of the house Vlasta Parkanova from the coalition Topo 9 party over her role in the 2009 purchase of the CASA transport aircraft for the Czech army. The police believe that Ms. Parkanova, who served as defense minister between 2007 and 2009, abused her authority while supervising the 3.6 billion crown deal and caused damages worth 658 million crowns. MP Parkanova said she was shocked to learn about the petition, while her party colleague said the decision to buy the Spanish-made transport planes was made by the whole government. The government signed the contract in 2009, a day before Ms. Parkanova stepped down along with other members of the cabinet. The Defence Ministry awarded the contract without a public tender. The lower house of parliament on Wednesday passed legislation that will slow down the growth of retirement pensions between 2013 and 2015. The legislation, which is part of the government's austerity measures, will now be debated in the Senate. If approved, pensions will grow by 156 crowns a month rather than 428 crowns, which means the state budget will save up to 50 billion crowns over the next 3 years. The opposition-controlled Senate is, however, likely to reject the bill. MPs on Wednesday also approved a bill introducing rules for direct presidential elections. If approved by the Senate and signed into law by the President, the legislation will establish a 50 million financial limit for the candidates' campaigns. Each candidate will be allowed to spend 40 million crowns on his or her campaign for the election's first round and another 10 million for the second. Direct presidential elections will be held for the first time in February 2013 to select a successor to President Václav Klaus. One of the last surviving members of the Second World War airborne Czechoslovak commandos, Robert Matula, died in his Canadian home in Victoria on Wednesday, in aged 93. Robert Matula, a native of Radvanice near Ostrava, was airlifted to the Nazi-occupied Czech territory in September 1944 as part of the Operation Wolfram and fought the German army until the end of the war. He left Czechoslovakia again after the communist coup in 1948 and settled in Canada 10 years later. In football, medical tests on Wednesday confirmed that the Czech national teams Petr Čech and Tomáš Rosický did not suffer any serious injuries in last night's game against Greece at the Euro 2012 tournament in Poland and might be fit for Saturday's match. The team captain, midfielder Tomáš Rosický, retired at halftime of the Czech side's 2-1 win against Greece with an injury of his Achilles tendon, while goalkeeper Petr Čech complained about problems with his shoulder joint. The Czech team doctors said chances were high of both players appearing in Saturday's key game against the host, Poland. And finally, a brief look at the weather forecast. The coming days will be mostly overcast with rain showers and occasional storms. Daytime highs will range between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Supreme Administrative Court upholds the Justice Minister's decision to sack Prague High Prosecutor Vlastimil Rampula in what many see as an important step forward in the fight against corruption. And good news for Czech football fans from Poland's Wroclaw. Later on in Marketplace, we'll look at the situation on the Czech art market and we'll end the show as usual with a Czech lesson, so do please stay with us. The Prague High Prosecutor Vlastimil Rampula will have to leave his post once again after the Supreme Administrative Court ruled that he made serious errors in the execution of his duties. The court thus settled the latest stage in a dispute between Rampula and Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who sacked him for dragging his feet on a number of high-profile political cases. Christian Falvey reports.
The Supreme Administrative Court found on Tuesday that the Prague High Prosecutor accumulated multiple mistakes in multiple cases, including some of the biggest cases of alleged corruption of the last decade, namely the purchase of Gripen fighter jets from Sweden and the infamous case of the bankrupt IPB Bank. With regards to IPB Bank, Vlastimil Rampula was cited for ordering another prosecutor not to immediately appeal the acquittal of seven of the bank's managers. By impeding a case without sufficient groundwork available to him, Rampula violated the principles of transparency and expertise, the court said. In this case, however, the court also laid into the other prosecutor for heeding the order, saying that the Institute of State Prosecution must not be a collection of colorless, anonymous officials waiting for orders with no responsibilities of their own. The transfer of IPB from the state to its rival ČSOB is believed to have cost taxpayers upwards of 34 billion crowns. In the case of the Swedish fighter jets, though, Mr. Rampula was cited for not following orders himself, having received a clear order from the then Supreme State Prosecutor to keep the case open and expand the substantiation in numerous states, Rampula and others failed to do so in Sweden, where the aircraft were manufactured. According to the judge, Rampula claimed that they would not have found anything out in Sweden anyway. Josef Baksa was the presiding judge in the trial and told Czech Radio where he found the prosecutor's mistakes.
It was an odd combination of action and inaction. First of all, there was a set of things that he, as a leading state prosecutor, did not react to, and thus accumulated errors in the work of his subordinates. In spite of having been informed of the fact through numerous checks made by the Supreme State Prosecutor. Or in some cases he trivialized the problems and led long discussions over them. In addition to that, he remained inactive on obvious orders from the former Supreme State Prosecutor in the case of the Gripens and did not ask for assistance from Sweden. And lastly, he rejected an order from the Supreme State Prosecutor to provide certain analytical data on the activities of his elite department.
Vlastimil Rampula himself has declined to comment on the decision until he receives the judgment in writing. The verdict of the Supreme Administrative Court, however, is the opposite of that reached earlier this year by the Municipal Court in Prague, which will have to review the matter again. The administrative judges rebuked the lower court for dealing with the justice minister's reasons for sacking Rampula individually rather than in the wider contexts. The mistakes he made, said the court, affected the running of an elite institution dealing with serious cases of economic and financial crime.
Christian Falvey with that report. Now on to Euro 2012. Czech fans have been in a dismal mood since the country's humiliating defeat at the hands of Russia. But things turned for the better on Tuesday night when the team rebounded from its opening loss by defeating opponents Greece. The squad got off to the best possible start, scoring two goals inside of 6 minutes. But a mistake by goalie Cech in the second half put Greece back in the game and made this one closer than it should have been. Jan Wellinger has this report.
The Czech national squad knew coming into Tuesday's match it had to deliver or risk becoming the first team eliminated at Euro 2012, hosted by Ukraine and Poland. And deliver they did. The team responded by scoring the fastest two-goal lead ever in the UEFA European Championship. It left Greece reeling in the game's opening 6 minutes. First, Tomáš Hipšman set up Petr Jiráček, who slotted the ball past goalie Chalkias, and soon after, Theodor Gebrselassie sent a sublime cross to Václav Pilař, who, hampered by two defenders, bundled the ball into the net as he fell. The quick goals left Greece, who were without two key players in defense, stunned, and for much of the first half, unable to respond. The Czechs, stringing together pass after pass, showed a level of confidence that had been absent in their previous game against Russia, and they dominated, looking at times like they might add a third goal, which would have put the match effectively out of reach. That's not quite how things worked out, however. Still in the first half, Greece's Georgios Fotakis came out of nowhere to head in a Vasilis Taurosidis cross, and for a moment it appeared the game was tied before the play was waved offside. The controversial call was scrutinized by Czech TV commentators at halftime, and it appeared the call was the right one by just a fraction.
For the Czech team, the moment in the match was nevertheless a warning. In the second half, following a major blunder by goalie Petr Cech, Greece did score. On a play in the 53rd minute, he fumbled the ball, allowing Theofanis Gekas to fire into the empty net. The blunder brought back shades of Euro 2008, when a similar mistake by the goalie cost the squad its chance to advance against the Turks. This time, though, the team held on. Even though Greece piled on the pressure, 2-1 it remained. After the match, here's what Petr Cech had to say.
That is the first time that memories of a past game flashed in my head. I made a mistake in rushing for the ball. I could have easily waited a meter back and the ball would have passed defender Tomáš Sivok and I could have caught it easier then. I didn't handle the situation well and the mistake was mine.
A win over Poland and under some circumstances even a draw in their final group match on Saturday would see the Czechs advance and the team says it will be ready. All the same, worries on Tuesday morning remained. Team captain and key playmaker Tomáš Rosický, who didn't play in the second half because of a suspected leg injury, and goalie Petr Cech, suffering a possible shoulder injury, had to undergo medical tests. The good news? No damage to bone or tissue confirmed. The team's doctor has since said there's a good chance that both Rosický and Cech, two of the Czech team's most important players, will be ready to play.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger there. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Over the last couple of years, art sales in the Czech Republic have seen a decline, but this year is different, and it's not just the record sale of a František Kupka painting that did the trick. The market now attracts collectors who are ready to look beyond the well-established segment of modern art that has topped sales so far. Jan Richter with this edition of Marketplace.
The Shape of Blue, a striking abstract painting by František Kupka from 1914, sold for 57.4 million crowns, or over $2.8 million, at an auction in Prague last month. The sale broke the Czech auction record, also held by a Kupka painting. Vladimír Lekeš is the owner of Adolf Loos Apartment and Gallery, the auction house that sold the painting. He explained some of the reasons why The Shape of Blue sold for such an immense sum.
The Shape Blue, or the blue, comes from the most fruitful period of Kupka career, and the picture appeared in numerous publications and was exhibited practically worldwide. The painting has also unique provenance. It comes from the collection of Indřich Valdes, and Indřich Valdes was very important Czechoslovak pre-war industrialist and owned the Kohinoor factory. And Kupka met Indřich Valdes in 1919, and ever since Indřich Valdes generously supported the painter until he was captured by the Gestapo in 1939.
The painting's impeccable pedigree was another reason behind the record sum it fetched. After it was confiscated by the Nazis and then by the Communists, The Shape of Blue spent the rest of the century in the National Gallery, until it was returned to Jindřich Valdes' heirs, along with the rest of his spectacular collection.
Valdes' collection was restituted in 1996 from National Gallery Prague, but most of the Valdes' collection has been already sold and now is in private hands. In future, only a limited number of artworks from this collection can appear.
The Kupka sale alone has provided a boost to the Czech art market, which went through a significant decline over the last couple of years. But Marcela Chmelařová, the editor of a Czech art investment website artplus.cz, says the record sale of The Shape of Blue does not in fact say much about the direction the whole Czech art market is going.
About the market, it says nothing because it's the very top of the market. It's the top segment of the market, and these extremely expensive pictures have special collectors, special investors. If we would like to talk about really about the market and about the health of the market, we have to look at the picture for 50, 100,000, 200,000 maximum.
Today, František Kupka is perhaps the best-known Czech modern painter. His pieces top the list of the most expensive sales, followed by other artists of the same period, such as Emil Fila, Toyen, Josef Čapek and others. But high prices of early 20th century art have made collectors look elsewhere, says Marcela Chmelařová.
It's the main segment with the top prices, and for that, that the price of modern are quite high at the moment. There is another significant trend that the buyers now specialize at something else. They buy works on paper and sculpture and items from Aisha. This is very popular now in Czech Republic.
Since 2009, when Czech auction sales reached a record high of 751 million crowns, the turnover of Czech auction houses fell for 2 years in a row, and in 2011 dropped to 645 million. Jan Skřivánek is the editor-in-chief of the magazine Art and Antiques.
The art market was worst hit in 2009 after the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers. The art market went quite rapidly down. In Czech, however, year 2009 was record high. That was the best year in the history of Czech auctions so far. Also, even though if we can talk about that the market as a whole is somehow hurt by the economical crisis, it doesn't mean that the top pieces don't sell.
Last year, 93 art pieces sold at over 10 million crowns, or roughly $500,000. That was down by nearly a half compared to the record year 2009. But this year has seen a revival across the art market.
The art market was maybe hurt in the lower segment, that the middle class didn't collect that much, but this segment wasn't that strong in here anyway. And I have the feeling that now it's actually coming back, that really the paintings in the middle segment, really around 100, from 100,000 to 500,000 or something, that now are making some very interesting sales are happening in this segment. So that's either that the very rich are also looking for good value in this segment, or that the people who are not competing for the million crown paintings but are following this segment are more willing to buy. But it's hard to decide which is the case.
While investors consider art a safe haven for their money, the surge in prices might also be driven by dwindling supply. Some top pieces from various renowned collections, including that of Jindřich Valdes, are yet to be auctioned, but Jan Skřivánek says it will be increasingly challenging to keep them coming.
It depends on the quality of the art pieces, that to get the top quality paintings, it's actually for the auction houses much harder to get the excellent pieces, and that's where the competitions comes in, that they really trying to persuade the collectors to sell, compete in terms of who gives them better conditions under which they will auction their painting, sometimes the auction houses say that, well, the buyers, if you have a good piece, the buyers will come no matter what. It doesn't matter when you make the auction, where you make the auctions, the buyers will find you. But the trick is to find the quality work and get the good painting that will attract the buyers.
The demand side of the market is very different. Buyers are now interested in artifacts that until recently generated little attention.
Now we have 2012 there are many collectors which are very experienced now at the moment, and they choose very special things. For example, yesterday there were a picture of Wojciech Hinaj's painting from the end of 19th century, and he hasn't been very, very famous at the market or very interesting for the buyers, but yesterday the picture sold for 6 million crowns and the starting price was 900,000, so this is very really special case that the collectors are capable pay a very special price for a very special item.
Czech collectors have been rather conservative in their preferences. Early 20th century remains the most popular period by far, because modern paintings have proven their value over the years. But Marcela Chmelářová from artplus.cz says that post-war art is increasingly coming into the spotlight.
That segment has a special collectors. These are, I think, middle class, like doctors and so on, and maybe the young people who have good jobs in banks and so on, and they are starting to buy also post-war and contemporary art, which is for them interesting. And this is a new thing, because of post-war and contemporary art, 5 years ago, nobody was interested in it.
One of the best-selling Czech painters from the post-war period has been Mikuláš Medek, but Jan Skřivánek is skeptical about this author becoming the new Kupka.
I don't think so. I actually think that he's already at the top and he cannot go much further. He's definitely one of the key figures of the Czech art of the 60s and 70s, but I think from today's point of view, there are some other artists that are maybe more interesting, like Adriana Šimotová, maybe like Jiří Balcár, Karel Malich, even Zdeněk Sikora. But all these names that we mentioned, they are already very well known and are reaching record prices.
With collectors paying more attention to art from the 1960s and 70s, how is contemporary Czech art doing?
The contemporary art market is much harder to follow, because the sales are not happening through the auction houses, but through galleries or privately. So it's harder to learn about them, to know about them. And I don't think that actually the art from the late 80s, early 90s is that much popular now. Their pieces sometimes appear on the auctions. They do rather good, but I don't think it's some trend.
The Shape of Blue by František Kupka was acquired by a foreign buyer, a Russian speaker, according to media reports. But whoever bought the painting might be disappointed in the end. The National Heritage Institute, which oversees the agenda of monument protection, backtracked on its earlier statement and said the piece is indeed registered as cultural monument. That means it cannot leave the country and cannot be even sold to a foreign citizen. Vladimír Lekeš from the auction house that sold the painting says this will have a negative effect on the whole market.
It will be more difficult to find a buyer, not only from abroad, who obviously wants to export the painting, but also here in the Czech Republic. Some clients see works of art as investment and consider their future sale abroad. One can say it will isolate us from the international art market developments. At the same time, it will inevitably harm propagation and circulation of Czech art abroad.
Mr. Lekeš says he is ready to sue the National Heritage Institute and the Ministry of Culture, if need be, to make sure the painting can be exported. But Jan Skřivánek from the Art and Antiques magazine believes the effect of the ban will be less immediate than that.
I don't think it will have that big effect, because the foreign buyers are not playing that important role on the Czech market, because there are not that many pieces that are interesting for them. This was quite unique case, so it wouldn't be a good situation. I think in our interest, even from a cultural point of view, is that it gets the permit, that it's it only helps Kupka if he's on the international market and so on. So it makes no sense to keep it here. But in practical terms, I think it wouldn't make that much big difference.
The auction season has only just begun, so if you're not concerned about not being able to take the artifacts out of the country, the website artplus.cz is a good starting point to see what's happening on the Czech art market.
That edition of Marketplace by Anne Richter was first broadcast in May of this year. Now, in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Hello Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech. Last we looked at some vocabulary to do with beer, the most typical Czech beverage, and today we'll look at beer in Czech idioms and sayings. For that, I'm joined in the studio by
Zuzana Durčáková.
A beloved child has many names, as they say in Northern Europe. It is certainly true about beer in the Czech language. Czechs can be quite affectionate when talking about what the common man calls
tekutý chléb,
or liquid bread, and exporters
tekuté zlato,
liquid gold. One affectionate version of the word
pivo
is
pivečko,
or little beer, but mind you, it has nothing to do with the size of the glass. And the list goes on.
Zrzavá voda,
or rusty water, is not often heard these days, but you will often come across it in literature. Then there is
bahno,
or mud. Many people refer to a glass of beer as
jedno,
or one. So they would often say
pojď na jedno,
meaning let's go and have a beer. Good beer has to have what is called
říz.
The word is related to the Czech verb to cut, and it means something like strength, kick, or strong flavor. A draft beer also has to have
dobrou míru.
It has to have the right measure. The glass has to be full. But in a typical Czech pub, that depends on whether the bartender
Bíčepní
likes you or not. There is a traditional rhyming proverb,
kde se pivo vaří, tam se dobře daří.
Or where beer is brewed, life is good. Beer lovers,
pivaři,
are easy to spot in a crowd because they have distinguishable beer bellies, or
pivní mozol,
literally a beer callus. But they are happy with their bodies, and that's why they coined another rhyming proverb.
Pivo dělá hezká těla.
Beer makes good bodies. And on that note, we will leave you now. And next, we'll be talking about wine in the Czech language. Till then,
na zdraví.
Cheers.
Pavla Horáková's ABC of Czech, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.